जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी अशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे राम 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 हरे हरे Thank you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam ஜயமுதீரயே நஷ்ட ப்ராயேஷ பத்ரேஷு நித்யம் பாகவத சேவயா பகவதி உத்தம ஸ்லோகே பக்திர் பவதி நைஷ்டகீ கிருஷ்ணாய வாசுதேவாய தேவகீ நந்தநாய ச நந்தகோபகுமாராய கோவிந்தாய நமோ நமஹ. ரீடிங் ஃப்ரம் தி ஸ்ரீமத் பாகவதம் கேண்டோ 1 சாப்டர் 4 டெக்ஸ்ட் நம்பர் 11. நாமானி யத் பாத நிகேதமாத்மனஹ சிவாய ஹானியதனானி சத்ரவஹ. கதம் ஸவீரஹ ஶ்ரீயமங்க துஷ்டஜாம் யுவைஷதோத்ஸ்ரஷ்டமஹோ ஸஹாஸுபிஹ. நமந்தி யத் பாத நிகேதமாத்மனஹ ஶிவாய ஹானீய தனானி ஶத்ரவஹ. கதம் ஸவீர ஶ்ரீயமங்க துஷ்ட்யஜாம் யுவைஷதோத்ஸ்ரஷ்டமஹோ ஸஹாஸுபிஹ. நமந்தி யத் பாத நிகேதமாத்மனஹ ஶிவாய ஹானீய தனானி ஶத்ரவஹ. கதம் ஸவீர ஶ்ரீயமங்க துஷ்ட்யஜாம் யுவைஷதோத்ஸ்ரஷ்டமஹோ ஸஹாஸுபிஹ. Namanti, bow down. Yat Pada, whose feet. Niketam, under. Atmanaha, own. Shivaya, welfare. Haniya, used to bring about. Dhanani, wealth. Shatravaha, enemies. Katham, for what reason? Saha, he. Viraha, the chivalrous. Shriyam, opulences. Anga, oh. Dushjajam, insuperable. Yuva, in full youth. Aishata, desired. Utsrashtam, to give up. Aho, exclamation. Saha, with. Asubhihi, life. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace is Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. He was such a great emperor that all the enemies would come and bow down at his lotus feet and surrender all their wealth for their own benefit. He was full of youth and strength, and he possessed insuperable kingly opulences. Why did he want to give up everything, including his life? Purport. There was nothing undesirable in his life. He was quite a young man and could enjoy life with power and opulence. So there was no question of retiring from active life. There was no difficulty in collecting the state taxes, because he was so powerful and chivalrous that even his enemies would come to him and bow down at his feet and surrender all wealth for their own benefit. Maharaj Parikshit was a pious king. He conquered his enemies, and therefore the kingdom was full of prosperity. There was enough milk, grains and metals, and all the rivers and mountains were full of potency. So materially everything was satisfactory. Therefore, there was no question of untimely giving up the kingdom and life. The sages were eager to hear about all this. Om Ajnana Damirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruhu Shri Utapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagarjatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Make the blessings of Guru Gauranga and all the assembled devotees, and pray that I may be able to render the service of speaking on Srimad Bhagavatam for my own purification and for your all devotees' pleasure. He was such a great emperor that all his enemies would come and bow down at his feet and surrender all their wealth for their own benefit. He was full of youth and strength, and he possessed insuperable kingly opulences, why did he want to give up everything, including his life? Hare Krishna. So here the Sanskrit word aho is an exclamation. Aho saha sudhihi, indicating surprise. So Shaunakadi Rishi is asking this question, that they're surprised that why would anybody want to give up all these opulences, all the control, all the power, the luxuries, the comforts, and also one's life. Saha subihi, asubihi, which means one's life. When is a person surprised? When you see something uncommon, something unusual. Yes. It's very common to see people being envious or being attached, making arrangements for their own comforts. That's the way of this world. Everyone does it. But when you find somebody giving up all these things, it's very rare. And therefore, even renunciation is kind of surprising, because the sages cannot find any material motive behind Parikshit Maharaj's giving up all these things. You see that similarly, Srila Prabhupada, when he came with his Western disciples to India, people were, what was the reaction of the Indians? Surprise. It was a surprise factor. You know, they had never seen a Westerner practice Krishna consciousness. So that was the highlight. That was how Prabhupada attracted so many Indians. And it gave hope to so many Indians that if these people can do it, why can't you? How come these people left America? Radhanath Swami Maharaj said that, you know, in his book, when he came to India and he met that guru sitting in the Himalayas, and he said, Maharaj, give some good instruction. And he said, where are you from? He said, I'm from America. I see. Why have you come here? I want to learn the ways of sadhu. So you're a fool. You're a fool to give up the luxuries and the comforts of America to come here to India. Look at me. All I'm doing is eating khichdi. All I get to eat is khichdi. Is that what you've come to get? That's what you will get. Go back. Enjoy the opulences. And live life. And at that time, Prabhupada, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, he understood that this person is not a true saint. Why would he speak like this? So you see, it's very rare to find genuine renunciation. Sometimes even in sadhus. And if someone really manifests that quality, then it is indeed surprising and indeed very, very inspiring. Yes, and that's why this question, that they can't find any motive behind it. So what is it? What was the reason? Why did he do that? Including his own life? Now, Parikshit Maharaj is certainly a devotee. And it is a principle that a devotee should never give up his life. Isn't it? He should never give up his life. He should never take up a fast until death. Because life is precious. श्रीमद् भागवतम से एतावत् जन्म साफल्यम देहिनाम इह देहिषु प्राणेरर्थेर दिया वाचा श्रेया आचरणम सदा. सो वन्स लाइफ वन्स बॉडी एंड इनफैक्ट प्राणेर यू शुड गिव योर लाइफ एयर्स फॉर द सर्विस ऑफ अदर्स. इफ यू कांट गिव योर लाइफ देन यू Arthir, you give your money. If you can't give your money, then you give your intelligence. Maybe you can manage and do some service or give some good counsel, consultation. And if you can't give your dhi, buddhi, dhiya, vacha, then at least speak some favorable words towards the process, towards those who are practicing Krishna consciousness. So to give up one's life is only in a situation when you can serve others. And suicide, atmahatya, as people say, you know, they do, is an act of extreme selfishness, whereby they give their life for their own purposes, for their own cause. And therefore, it is not warranted. It's not advisable. Why should a devotee stop eating and drinking? That's not what a Vaishnava should do. He should eat and drink and he should be healthy and serve. And that's what Parikshit Maharaj was doing. With Praner Arther Dhiya Vacha. And by all means he was doing it. And his body was a shelter of millions of people. He was providing justice to the people, protection to the people. He was into management, universal management. He was not a king, he was an emperor. He was a king of all kings. What a facility to serve. And he was not a corrupt king. He had the darshan of the Lord in his childhood. He was born dead, as the Mahabharata explains, as it was mentioned before. He was born dead, and it was the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna who revived him. Or whatever, even though he was not dead, as Bhagavatam says, and the Lord protected him from the Brahmastra within the womb of his mother. In any case, his life is grace. His life is prashad, because it has been awarded to him by the Lord. And anything awarded by the Lord is prashad. And anything awarded by the Lord, we can truly say it is mine. Isn't it? When we say this is mine, it is not ours. Because everything belongs to Krishna. But if Krishna takes it and he says, now you take it, then that is ours. We have the right over it. Apna hai, it's mine. And obviously, devotees uses it in God's service. That's why the gopis, you know, the Lord, when he, Chiraharan Leela, he took the clothes of the gopis and then personally with his own hands he gave it to them. And here we see Parikshit Maharaj, he's given up all his clothes, his royal opulences, his ornaments, his armor, and he's simply in his kopin, in his underwear, he's sitting literally naked in front of all his people, own subjects, humbling himself in front of this very young 16-year-old Rishi. It's quite a humiliating gesture, if, you know, in conventional terms, in materialistic terms, to be, you know, in such a situation, a man who has all these opulences. But the difference is, it is not humiliating because he has voluntarily given it up. Generally, people are, you know, from karodpati, they become roadpati. It is because you know, they had prarabdha, they have lost their money, they were helpless, so now they are on the streets. But here, Parikshit is not like that. Therefore, the question is that why has he voluntarily become a roadpati? But he is not a roadpati. That's why they say now that one speaker was saying that, you know, you people are greater than me. Main chauki pe baitha hoon, isiliye main chaukidar. Aap log zameen pe baithe hain, isiliye aap zameendar. And literally, actually, he is a zamindar. He owns the land. He owns everything. Even the place where Shukadev Goswami is sitting belongs to Parikshit. But he has given up. And he's taken this humble position. So, why is he giving up that life which was awarded to him by the Supreme Personality of Godhead? That is Prasad. Yeah, it has to be distributed. That life has to be... He's wasting his life. Yukta Vairagya. The principle of Yukta Vairagya is to use it in God's service. Don't just give it up. That's not our philosophy. Prasad has always to be distributed. Opportunities to serve also should be distributed. Mahaprasad has to be distributed. Like I remember many years ago, one senior brahmachari was sitting with his plate stashed with a lot of Mahaprasad. Rabadi and a lot of things were there. And so the devotees sitting nearby were eyeing on his Mahaprasad. And slowly they were like, they were trying to snatch some Mahaprasad from his plate. And he was like boxing them and thinking. Jokingly, it was a very friendly gesture. So another devotee, I think it was Govind Prabhu sitting close by. Many years ago this is. Govind Prabhu was sitting close by. And he passed a comment. He says, "Acha, dunya bhar mein harinam baatne ka aur mahaprasad apne liye rakhne ka." Jokingly. So that is a very wonderful message we all got, that we are so liberal in distributing the holy name. No, take. But when it comes to mahaprasad, why should we be so stingy? So that is the nature of opportunities to serve, opportunities to manage, opportunities to sing, opportunities to speak. It is all the service of the Lord. It's all awarded. It's all Mahaprasad. And that has to be distributed. And that's what Srila Prabhupada did. That's what was the unique feature of Srila Prabhupada and the movement of Sri Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that they didn't reserve the right to just simply be the ones distributing Krishna consciousness. In fact, they empowered people, they trained them up and gave them opportunities to serve, and that's how the movement began. And so, Parikshit Maharaj was giving up that opportunity. Now, why it is so? And that was a valid question, and obviously, subsequently, it will be explained. Now, Parikshit Maharaj happens to meet his guru, Shukdev Goswami. And as the acharyas are explaining, that this first canto has three sections. And the first three chapters speak about the... Basically, there are unlimited speakers of Srimad Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the Puran Itihas, part of the fifth Veda. It is eternal, as the Vedas are eternal, Srimad Bhagavatam is also eternal. Since time immemorial, there have been speakers, there have been listeners. Hari Katha, Hari Ananta, Hari Katha Ananta. So there have been unlimited speakers. However, Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, speaks about three pairs of speakers and listeners, whom the Srimad Bhagavatam says are one better than the other. Topmost being this Parikshit Maharaj and Shukdev Goswami. Second being Narada and Vedavyas. And third being Suta Goswami and Shaunak Adi Rishi, in that order, higher and that way. So he put Shukdev Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj on the top, even higher than Narada and Vedavyas, for one reason, is that By the grace of the Lord, Parikshit Maharaj and Shukdev Goswami excel even Narada and even Vedavyas in their renunciation. Of course, they are all transcendental persons, but Acharyas explain it like this. Because if you see, if you analyze that even Vedavyas as a listener, when he approached Narada, he was in distress. He was unhappy. So, that is a problem. And also Vedavyas, he was, as we know that, you know, when his son was born and Shukdev Goswami was born and he was just walking into the forest, you know, he was crying to his son. Putra, 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 where are you going? That's a very famous verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Yam pravrajantam anupetyam upetya krityam vipayana virhakatara ajuhava putreti tam mayataya taravo vinayadustam sarva bhuta nilayam munimanatosmi. Putra, putra, he's calling out, my son, where are you going? Where are you going? And the only response he got was the echo from the trees. He was hearing, putra, 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 putra. That was all that he was hearing. His son was completely detached. Shukdev Goswami didn't care. He just walked. Putra dar grihadishu. He was absolutely... But Vedavyasa was running behind his son. There was some attachment there. Obviously, Vedavyasa is not even an... Shaktyavesh avatar. As Srila Prabhupada writes in his book, he was in this Vaivasvada Manu. Vedavyasa is... direct expansion of Lord, not even a Shaktyavesh avatar. But still, you see, as a message, as a very important philosophical point. So, therefore, the first three chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam explains the principles of the minimum requirements of a speaker and the listener. Then the fourth, fifth and sixth chapter, this is the fourth chapter, this is the beginning of the second criteria or the second class of speakers of Narada to Vedavyas. And seventh chapter onwards is the last category, highest category that we have. So therefore, the Acharyas are explaining that what makes a good speaker? Who's the best speaker? What are the qualifications of a speaker? How do you analyze? How do you conclude that he is kya Bhagavatam class? Oh, excellent. How do you determine that? But generally we speak about speakers. But Acharya says, you can only be a good speaker if you have a good listener. So they are coupled together. You know, therefore it's not coincidence. Sometimes like we may think, arey, kya ho gaya, arey, Shukdev Goswami. I see, he was walking like a madman. Nobody was recognizing him, that he was such a great scholar, such a great renunciate. Walking like this, like a madman. All of a sudden then, Parikshit Maharaj is sitting there on the banks of the Ganges and immediately he sits down. Go dohana matrena. He goes to homes to beg for food. And he waits there only till the time it takes to milk a cow. That means about half an hour. And here he has decided to stay for 7 days, 7 nights, instructing Parikshit Maharaj. Why? What happened? He lost his renunciation. Detachment. Or maybe he saw, here is the emperor. Achha, donation milega, achha, thoda mandir khada karenge. Thoda ashram mein, or you know, all the sadhus can live comfortably. We'll get the patronage of all these, or the kings. Oh, amazing. So maybe he was moving around waiting for a good opportunity. He was not interested till he met Parikshit Maharaj. Oh, here comes the emperor. Good, chalo. Let's take him as a counselee and make him a disciple. Nobody knew me till now, but now people will know me. Ha 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 ha. Shukdev Goswami dekha. Kisko? Parikshit Maharaj ko. Parikshit Maharaj ke guru. So what was that his motive? Well, it can't be his motive because, you know, as Acharya has explained, you know, he lives by that principle. It's just as a cow, you know, needs to be tied up in order to milk the cow. And the cow agrees to be tied up. It has to give milk. Forcibly, he agrees. Okay. So similarly, it is explained that Shukdev Goswami would wait at householder's house as an austerity. Kya karega? But we have to instruct these householders to become detached. So, all right. It was not that he wanted to stay. Therefore, if there was attachment, he would have stayed longer. So, you see, it is not the reason why he stayed. Otherwise, he would have been affected by the fault of hypocrisy and duplicity and cheating propensity. But Acharya has explained, pure devotees do not have these four defects. Karana, Patava, Vipra, Lipsa, Brahma and Pramad. They are not affected by this. And in the Krishna book, there is a Bakasur, the stock. One of the qualities of a stock or a crane is that it behaves like a yogi. You know, cranes, when they stand on a water stream waiting for the fish to come. So it stands on one leg like a yogi, without moving. And all the fish come, waiting for the fish. But a crane will not catch small fish. It's waiting for the big fish. And the big fish comes immediately. He gives up his yoga, at least he stands and then he grabs it. So therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that this Pakasur represents the fault of hypocrisy and cheating propensity and duplicity, waiting for the right opportunity. So Shukdev Goswami was waiting for the right opportunity. Oh, here comes Parikshit Maharaj. Right. So it's not the case. And it is explained that the meeting of Shukdev and Parikshit Maharaj took place by the arrangement of the Lord. Just as we say that marriages are made in heaven. They say that. I don't know how true it is. Maybe made in heaven, but it has to be lived on earth for sure. If not in hell. If the marriage is happy, at best you are living a happy earthly life, if not in hell. But otherwise, they may be made in heaven for sure. However, the combination of a guru and a disciple is made in Vaikuntha. It's personally made by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is not coincidence that Parikshit Maharaj comes across Shukdev Goswami. It is not simply coincidence. Arey, achha, bhagya se chalo guru mil gaye. You know, it's not coincidence. It's actually the arrangement of the Lord. When you see a sincere disciple, there has to be a sincere guru. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that, you know, there are five sampradayas. The fifth sampradaya, four sampradayas are bona fide sampradaya, and the fifth sampradaya is the vanchaka vanchita sampradaya. The sampradaya of the cheaters and the cheated. Where if you want something cheap, you'll get it. If you want, if you don't want enlightenment, if you want entertainment, then that, so be it, you'll get it. You'll get such gurus. There are different shlokas for different folks. You know, just yesterday, one of my family members sent me a message on this same topic, guru, disciple, where a student, the teacher asked the student, where is Taj Mahal? Student says, Agra. Teacher says, no, it's in Gujarat, Baroda. So all students started looking at each other and thinking, what is going on? Why is this teacher is saying like this? So the student goes and complains to the parents. Teacher is saying that the Taj Mahal is in Baroda. So the parents say, chalo, jaake milte hain teacher se. And student went along with the professor. Kya ji, aap kya sikha rahe ho humare bachchon ko? Taj Mahal Baroda mein? Is that what you're teaching our children? Why are you teaching them wrong things? द टीचर सेड देखो पिछले 6 महीने से ना तुम्हारा बेटे ने फीस नहीं भरा, इसलिए तब तक वो ताजमहल बड़ौदा में ही रहेगा, ठीक है, यू पे योर फी एंड देन यू विल गेट द राइट इन्फॉर्मेशन, देन विल टीच यू द राइट थिंग. वांछक वंचित संप्रदाय, यू वॉन्ट समथिंग चीप. I remember once this person in Taloja, when I started a program there, so many people came, 120, 130 people were there. So one family from Prayag was there, UP, very cultured and very progressive family. So after the program, that man comes and tells me that, you know, Prabhuji, itne sare log aa rahe na, iske liye aa rahe hain. Aap ye prasad ashad band kar do, dekho kitne log aayenge. So I said, whatever the case may be, I said, theek hai, even if they are coming for prasad, hamara dharma hai ki shastra ke anusar, vidhi anusar, humko satsang, yagya, satra karna padega. Vidhi hi nam ashrishtanam, you know that verse there in the Srimad Bhagavatam, I showed him that verse, Bhagavad Gita ke shlok mein. Vidhi hi nam ashrishtanam, vidhi bina yagya karna, ya yagya ke baad, agar prasad ka vitran nahi hota hai, if there is no distribution of prasad, after the yagya, after the sacrifice, this is gyan yagya, then it is tamasik. So therefore, we are doing a duty to distribute prasad after a program is recommended in the scriptures. Now, people come with different motives. It's none of our business. He sat and he took prasad very happily. And he became one of the very good congregation members. Very, very wonderful family. So the question is that what are the qualifications of a disciple and what are the qualifications of a guru? And so therefore Acharya has explained, the first thing is the inquisitiveness. First of all, the listener has to be genuinely inquisitive. Just today morning I was listening to Srila Prabhupada's class, the morning walk, and all these disciples of Srila Prabhupada are asking amazing questions to Srila Prabhupada. Such amazing questions. And Prabhupada is replying and, you know, this walking and walking. And it's such a blissful experience to listen to Srila Prabhupada's discussions, conversations, more than his lectures, you know, his conversations where there's an interaction, a dialogue, which is so wonderful to hear. It's not boring, it's not a monologue, it's a dialogue. You know, the disciple asks something, guru speaks something. And the glory is of the disciples who had so many questions to ask. And unless there is no, that jigyasa, Brahma jigyasa, obviously, Brahma Jigyasa. And Prabhupada would not have been able to speak, and they had that interest, so that desire. Unless there is that inquisitiveness, that fire of, okay, what is it? What is the question? How can I, what are the nitty gritties of, you know, application of the philosophy and all those other things? Unless they are not asked, unless that inquisitiveness and interest is not shown, the disciple, the guru will not be interested to speak. Like, I remember that in Vashi, I was invited to give a program in one Sangha. It was a Kannada Sangha. Since last 2-3 years, I was invited. The whole program is in Kannada. But only that, mercifully, that organizer who's around 75-80-year-old man, very learned, great scholar himself in Vedanta and, you know, scriptures and all that. Very traditional person, and he always tries to somehow or another inspire his community members in Sanskriti. So he organizes this since past many years, and somehow he came to know me. He invited me for a program and somehow he liked it. He was inviting me on a yearly basis. So 2-3 years I've been going to his program in connection with another devotee who used to liaise with me and him. So one day, so 1 year when he invited me, I was informed that Prabhu, Pejavar Math Swami is also coming. Vishveshwar Tirtha Maharaj. And after his lecture, then you may speak. So I just shared it with some devotee. Are Maharaj are? How can I speak? And I was quite nervous. Maharaj, 80 years sannyasi, great scholar, and how can I even stand in front of him and all that? Some of the news went and, you know, spread. And I still remember that the news went, I think, to Govind Prabhu. And, you know, as lovingly, that Govind Prabhu always passes a comment. He says, tell Akinchana that if he goes there and if he sits on the same level as Maharaj, he will go to hell. So I got the message. I was careful, yes, that we have to be very careful in front of these great sannyasis. You know, we don't offend him. And so I was just praying and I was just thinking, my Lord, and something happened. I don't know what happened. I got a wrong information about the timings, or I got delayed. Now, I don't remember that much. But when I reached the program, I got late. And I heard Maharaj ne lecture diya, chale gaye. And then I was, in a way, I was sad and I was happy at the same time. Sad because I didn't get to see him, I couldn't get his association. And I was happy because at least I would not have to speak in front of him while he is sitting there. How can I speak in front of a senior person? It's not an etiquette, just like here, Parikshit Maharaj and Shukdev Goswami is speaking in front of his guru. Vedavyas is sitting there, Narada is sitting there, his Param Guru is also sitting there. It is a gross breach of etiquette to try to preach to somebody in the presence of a senior devotee. I mean, if your guru is sitting there, definitely not. What to speak of your Param Guru sitting? And Shukdev Goswami is sitting and giving a lecture for 7 days, 7 nights. Breach of etiquette. However, it is not a breach of etiquette because they wanted him to speak, because Vedavyas and Narada, as it is explained, he was always getting these invitations to social events to speak on karma, jnana, and nyaya and all those things. They never got an opportunity to hear or speak on Shuddha Bhakti because they never got such a detached person. Parikshit Maharaj as a disciple, and here is somebody, a very wonderful combination. So Narada also and Vedavyas also sat and instructed him, please go on when we are listening. And Shukdev Goswami is speaking. And they are also enjoying. Aha. And even though Vedavyas and Narada only taught that philosophy, but hearing Shukdev Goswami speak, they were thinking, oh, wonderful. I mean, we have not heard this philosophy, even though they only taught them. They felt it with the freshness. Because the devotion of Shukdev and Parikshit, both. Anyway, so I was just remembering that one should not speak in front of a superior. And I was just, anyway, I went there and I asked, toh kaisa hua Maharaj ne, what did he speak on? And I realized that, you know, Maharaj didn't really give a lot of message. Either the mic was not working, or he just spoke something a little bit, which I think people were not able to hear properly, or something like that. And he left. He just came there. He just blessed, and he left. Basically, there was not something significant which was delivered in terms of vani. His vapu was there, and people all were blessed. And then I realized one thing, you know, that if you do not have a good audience, then certainly, there, no matter how elevated your status is of knowledge and everything, it is useless. You will not have a proper samvad. And they were not interested. They were basically, you know, they had come with their children to do their puppet shows and, you know, fancy dress competition and, you know, all those kind of cultural things, mimicry and all those things. So Maharaj must have come and seen, okay, theek hai, they have come to enjoy materially. What can I speak about Krishna Katha here? So, for such events, people like us are there, you know. Okay, theek hai. Speak some jokes, entertain them a little bit. And, you know, raise them a little bit in their consciousness, speaking something which may appeal to their senses. But he's on another level. So he just went, he came, he just gave less and he left. So unless there is no inquisitiveness, you cannot appreciate. So Maharaj must have thought, these people have no inquisitiveness. They are just busy, chalo, apne bachche ko stage pe rakho. Chalo, let them do something, tali wali, hari bol. So children get some encouragement in such programs and they go, okay, that's nice, that's also needed. Nothing against that. So, that fire, that intense desire to hear should be there. Otherwise, there won't be. Like, you know, if there is appetite, then you can actually relish food. Especially now today's Dwadashi. Yesterday was Nirjal Ekadashi, whole day fast, Nirjal, not even water. And how delicious prasad tastes on Dwadashi. Oh, isn't it? Nectar, really nectar. Not like any other day, but Pandar Nirjal Mahadvashi Khichdi. Nothing can compare to that. And I can tell you from my own experience, you know, the first time I experienced hunger was when I was in my 8th or 9th standard, when I enrolled for this NCC camp. For 10 or 12 days you have to go. I was sent to Palghar along with around 45-50 other students, training with, you know, guns and marching and parade and Savdhan, Vishram, and 4-5 hours in the hot sun. And you know, shooting with those, you know, 0.303 old British time guns. All it was tough, and they would have these arrangements for food. And it was very basic, like, you know, I still remember, I did not forget, aloo gobi they had made. And in a day, there was no snacking, breakfast, lunch, dinner. And there was also limited quantity. And they would serve in aluminium bartans. And very shabby, everything was like, first time I experienced going out of my home. And one apple a day they used to give. Take apple. And we all used to stand in line, like, you know, take apple. And the chapatis were so hard, like bulletproof chapatis, literally. We were given guns to shoot, yeah? And I thought they were like meant for target shooting. So hard it was. But we were so hungry. At least I was so hungry. The first time I realized when the food came on my plate, aloo gobi, it's like yesterday for me. I don't know how, because that experience was so deep. It left such deep impression that I was eating that as if it was like nectar. And even that apple, generally I don't like apples, I don't so much fancy it. But apple, we used to wait for that apple. Take an apple, save me. So I realized what it is, how relishable food can be when there's really an appetite. And really, as Maharaj says, that if you're complaining about prasad, rest assured you're not hungry. If you are complaining about prasad, means either you have not served enough, yes. If you're served with your body and, you know, you're really hungry, then it really doesn't matter what is in front of you. Yes. And if you're like choosy about it, then even if you get chapan bhog and sambar and khichdi and, you know, gulab jamun rasgulla, you say, kidhar hai? Achar kidhar hai? Papad nahi banaya. Why there is no papad? Are khichdi to hona chahiye tha kya? So also Maharaj, in one of his lectures, Radhana Swami Maharaj was saying that we shouldn't get into the trap of, okay, kaisa bola, kya hai, are, simple bola, yeah, whatever, who, kaun bol raha hai. If there's real, that inquisitiveness, that jigyasa to listen, it really doesn't matter. Of course, we don't want to get into that, you know, materialistic stuff. Bhagavatam says, Natad vachas chitra padam harir yasho jagat pavitram pragrinita karhichit tadvayasam tirtam ujanti manasa nayatra hamsa niramantu shikshaya. That is very clear, that materialistic subject matters are actually, if people are interested in materialistic subject matters, then it is simply a congregation of crows. Don't want to get into that track. But we are saying that genuine Tadvag visargo janatag viplavo yasmin pratishloka abadhyavattapi naman anantasya yashon kitani yat shrinvanti gayanti grihananti sadavaha. But if a devotee, no matter if he makes mistakes in his talks, or if he's composed a scripture based, or literature based on the scriptures, and if there is not perfect in its presentation, still if there are devotees sitting, then they will appreciate it. Never mind, he's made a good effort. Attempt. It's about the Lord, no problem. So therefore, inquisitiveness. The second quality, it is explained, is nirmatsara. One should not be envious of the speaker. Upadesho hi murkhanam prakopaya cha kalpate. Otherwise, it will only increase his anger. More you speak about Krishna consciousness, more you give, and then more that person is becoming envious. More and more envy in him. And as a result of enviousness, then he will commit offenses and he will fall down. So you're really not doing any benefit to him or to yourself. So, therefore, Krishna also says, idam te na tapaskaya na abhaktaya kadachana nacha shushrushave vachyam nacha mam yobhya suyati. Now, whom are you going to speak this Srimad Bhagavatam? Idam te na tapaskaya. That person should be a tapasvi. He should be austere. He should be disciplined. Na abhaktaya kadachana. And he should be a devotee. Nacha shushrushave vachyam. And very importantly, which is sometimes overlooked, Acharya has explained. Even though he is a tapasvi, even though he is a devotee, but is he right now in a mood to listen? Ya sunne ke mood mein hai kya? Maybe he is not in that situation to hear at the moment. So all right, don't speak at that time. Nacha shushrushave vacham. Of course, there are other meanings of shushrushave, but nacha mam yobhya suyati. And at the same time, he should not be envious of me. So, those are some of the qualities. And then the acharyas go on to explain that you should have deep respect for the message, for Krishna. Even though, however the presentation has been made, but because of the respect for the Lord, he sits and he hears. And then for the speakers, he says that the speaker should be having heard the Bhagavatam. He should know the Bhagavatam if he has to speak. And he should be blessed with the understanding, the correct understanding of the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. And he should have the intelligence to expound that knowledge for the benefit, for the simplified, as a simplification of the understanding or, the ease of understanding of the people. So, like you see, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya speaking to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was a great scholar, but he did not understand the meaning of the Vedanta. There are so many people who speak on the scripture. But therefore, Gopinath Acharya told Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that you have not understood, you have not been blessed by the Lord. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, what is the proof that you have been blessed by the Lord? It's the understanding of the summum bonum, that is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They were also Vedic scholars, but they did not know. So therefore, and then the lastly is that, as it is explained, that to have the intelligence to expound the philosophy, you may know a lot, but do you have the art to speak? You may be knowledgeable, but not everyone, be able to expound it. Some people may not be speakers, not cut out for that. I remember what there was a brahmachari. Whole day he used to study. Whole day. He used to keep the books next to him only and he used to sleep. Before going to sleep, he will read something, and when waking up also he'll open and he'll read. Whole day he used to. But when it came to speaking, there was not much. He was not so much of a speaker. So obviously he was a great scholar, a great knowledgeable person, but speaking is another art. So these three things are important. That is the minimum, the first. From Suta Goswami and Shaunaka Adishi, you learn these things. And then on the higher level, when you come to Narada and Vedavyasa, it is explained, three things are needed. Bhagavat Kripa, Bhagavadiya, and Bhagavatva. Without the blessing of the Lord, Bhagavat Kripa, no one can speak. Isn't it? That's how, Sanjaya was able to speak to Dhritarashtra. Vyasa Prasadat Shrutavan, Kripa. That's how Valmiki understood Ramayana. And Brahma blessed him. He became immediately aware of every little speech that was going on between Sita, Ram and Lakshman and all of those people. Every gesture and everything. Even if you see in Bhagavatam, Dhruva Maharaj. He was a young boy, he could not speak, he did not know anything. He had not gone to Gurukul also, he was only 5 years old. But Narayan came and he touched him with his conscience and immediately योऽन्तः प्रविश्य ममवाच इमां प्रसुप्तां सञ्जीवयत्यखिलशक्तिधरः स्वधाम्ना अन्यां सहस्तचरणश्रवणत्वगादीन् प्राणा नमो भगवते पुरुषाय तुभ्यम्. Immediately all his senses became enlivened and he began to speak pure Sanskrit and all these beautiful Dhruvastuti. So empowerment, Bhagavad Kripa and Bhagavadiya. You have to be belonging to the family of the Lord. If you see Narada, Vedavyas, they all belonged. Like just recently I was reading one pastime of Haridas, the ITV Haridas. So he was saying that in 1975, Prabhupada met him and he says, now you know philosophy, now you go and preach. Travel all over the world and preach. So Haridas Thakur went and wanted to get his passport made. So they said, what is your father's name? They had to write full pass the form. So Haridas did not know who his father was. I don't know whether he was an orphan or what. He did not know. So he didn't make his passport. Few days later, Prabhupada met him and saw him and said, "Arey, why are you still here?" So he said, "Prabhupada, I couldn't make the passport because they are asking for father's name. I don't know who my father is." "Never mind, come." And Prabhupada went with him and filled up the form for him and said, "Write father's name, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada." And he wrote and he got his passport. And he said, "Now you go preach." So disciple said, "Prabhupada, why did you allow him to put your name as his father?" Prabhupada said, "That's because I also put my father's name in my passport. Om Ashtottara Shri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And that's how I got my passport." So you see, when the guru owns you, when he begins to not just love you, but also trust you with his instructions, that is when you become Bhagavadiya. And Bhagavatva, when you have those divine qualities. Divine qualities. You may have divine qualities, or you may have sattvic qualities, you may have rajasic qualities, or you may have tamoguni qualities. You may be a devotee, or you may be a brahman, or you may be a kshatriya, or you may be a vaishya, or you may be a shudra. Not by birth, I'm talking about qualities, guna. If you have divine qualities, then you will speak about Krishna. If you are sattvic, you will speak about purification. If you are like a kshatriya and you are management and all those things, then your speech will contain, you know, then you will be motivated with, say, maybe trying to dhanam, janam, sundari. Those will be the motivations. How to make money, how to gain followers, how to create an influence, how to subjugate people, how to control them. If you are a vaishya, then okay, paisa kaisa banana hai. We'll charge fees for your, you know, talks or whatever. And if you're a shudra, then you will use the Bhagavatam opportunities to find faults with people and criticize. So therefore, these things. And lastly, on the highest platform, where Shukdev and Parikshit is informed, that is one quality which he has, both the speaker and the audience had, is of detachment. And detachment comes with the blessings of the Lord. They were indeed blessed. And therefore, following in the footsteps of Shukdev and Parikshit, we all should aspire to develop these qualities of detachment. And that will help us in more effectively spread the message of Lord Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki. Gaur Premanande.